The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, I'm so glad to have my friend Dave Wilson. He's with the Palmetto Family Alliance. Dave, I understand that we've got something that's sneaking through the legislature that we might need to get involved with. Tell us about it.
Good morning, Deb. Yeah, we've got the hate crimes legislation. Now, if you've been to the Walmart anytime in South Carolina over the last several months, you've seen stickers all over the freezer doors and every single checkout saying that hate doesn't exist. And, you know, we're not going to have hate in South Carolina, which is true. We don't need to be having anything that has to do with hate. But hate crimes legislation, though, goes a little bit beyond that, because what we're talking about, Deb, is we're talking about new legislation that's making its way through the South Carolina legislature. It's made it through the House. It's in a Senate Judiciary Committee today, which means it's already halfway through the process in the South Carolina Senate. That legislation basically says that you cannot create new levels of classifications of people based upon sexual orientation, gender identity, and it puts a level of religious freedom squashing on speech that can be said because of the way people feel about what it is that you say. And that's a big concern for ours, especially right now, because you've got the business community really wanting to check this box to say, hey, listen, we passed hate crime legislation like 47 other states in America without taking a look at the broader consequences of that legislation and how it unfolds.
So, Dave, what when you say the broader consequence, I mean, I got your email blast yesterday, and that's why I wanted to reach out to you. So what you're basically saying that if your words and your pastor's messages could now be considered hate speech?
You're exactly right, Deb. That's the part that, you know, if you go to church, they say that the word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's meant to cut us a little bit. It's meant to make us feel that little part that says, hey, listen, I need something more in my life, and God's trying to get my attention here, and recognizing that sin is sin, and we all need Jesus Christ. And in that part of the message, if somebody finds that offensive right now, if that's the case, then you could be looking at this law being interpreted by the courts to say that, well, if I choose a different sexual orientation or gender identity and I feel that I'm being threatened by that, that right there could be considered a form of hate in South Carolina.
Wow. And so it really also goes back to the idea of the 14th Amendment of equal protection under the law.
Exactly, because what you're looking at right now, Deb, is this, is there is a case law that was done by the Supreme Court called the Bostock decision. The Bostock decision was about employment law. And so what the House of Representatives in South Carolina has done is reference back to a federal court decision, not federal law, a federal court decision, and said, well, we're going to use the interpretation of what are considered to be the immutable characteristics, unchangeable characteristics list that we did based upon a Supreme Court decision. Instead of looking at something like law that the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which basically defined sex, race, gender as your immutable characteristics. But when you take a look at sexual orientation, gender identity, you know, when I was working in the South Carolina Senate 7 years ago, there was a piece of paper that was floating around talking about the 38 different sexual orientations and gender identities. Well, that list today is well over 100. And so when you start talking about characteristics that do not change, Deb Sofield will always be a woman. Deb Sofield, your skin color is what your skin color is. I'm the same as for Dave Wilson. The same as for everybody who's looking. That does not change. But what does change is our ability to turn around and interpret how it is, according to the way this legislation is written, how or which orientation I choose to identify with. And based upon that, Deb, that's the interesting part. They're now creating a law that will create new levels of consequences or punishment that are going to be different for certain people based upon sexual orientation for those that do not identify with certain sexual orientations. And therein lies the 14th Amendment problem of equal protection under the law, because that then no longer exists.
So, Dave, I saw on your email that there is a way to call your senators. What is your what's your feeling right now? I mean, I'm looking at some of these senators. I know them. They're good people. I mean, they're not going to unless they are completely snowballed by this, I would think they would be able to see this for what it is. And I know that you actually spoke to the Senate committee.
I did. I spoke to the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee, and there was a lot of opposition within some of that group, because what you're hearing right now, though, is pressure coming from the business community. The State Chamber of Commerce, the Greenville Chamber of Commerce are putting on a hard court press right now to pass this legislation. And they say that one of the reasons for needing to do this is the fact that if we don't, it's going to hamper business recruitment and business development. We're not going to get the NCAA tournaments. We're not going to have these other things that are coming to the area. The reality of the situation is, Deb, we have certain things that define South Carolina as South Carolina, and we don't always do things like everybody else does. And right now, if we're going to create a new law that basically then tells us that we're going to have to interpret what Deb's thought is when Deb did this particular action, now all of a sudden, I've got a subjective interpretation of what Deb was thinking at the time that Deb, no offense, I didn't commit a crime, but yeah. In our example here, you know, somebody commits a crime. What was the intent of that person? Were they intending this thing to happen? And that is a subjective thing that, you know, oftentimes you'll have criminals turn around and say, I don't know why I did it. Mm. And if we can't even interpret our own thoughts, how in the world can the courts interpret thoughts and determine whether or not something was done based upon hate or not? And that is a very, very subjective interpretation of the law based upon thought, not based upon actions.
So, Dave, what I find fascinating is that we're not looking at law. We're looking at an interpretation of a law that has put us in this place. And that's what you're saying, correct?
Exactly. I mean, when we think about it, you know, you look at the laws as we have taken a look at American governance over the last several decades, the U.S. Congress has not passed that much when it comes to major pieces of legislation that do some level of cultural definition. They have left that Deb up to the courts. Go back to the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973. You take a look at the Obergefell decision. You know, when we legalized same-sex marriage in America, that legalization was done through the courts, not through the legislative process of creating laws, because Congress has not been willing to act on certain issues. They're leaving it up to the courts and the courts' interpretation and the decisions that are being made there. That's why when we say the phrase elections have consequences, this is a prime example of what that means. You now have a U.S. Supreme Court that is stacked differently in their interpretation than the previous courts of the last 4 or 8 years. And so you're going to be seeing decisions that come out of this Supreme Court that are going to be different and being interpreted differently. As a matter of fact, the Bostock decision, as referenced, as you saw in that email, that law, that interpretation of that particular case was actually written by Neil Gorsuch, who said this has got to be limited only to employment law. And now all of a sudden we're taking the Bostock language and starting to apply it to criminal law in South Carolina. That's just an overstep and an overreach of the ways that we need to be looking at the way law is created and law is defined in America. And that is not up to the courts necessarily, as it needs to be up to the decision of our elected officials, who we send to Washington, D.C., or who we send to Columbia.
All right, Dave, I've got to cut this off now. Thank you for calling in.